Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the first chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1115. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 29, we'll read responsively through verse 36. Page 1115. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, beginning with verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said he unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And let's pray. Father, you have given us a wonderful day. Thank you for the many victories. However, there's something tonight that you wish to do with thy people. Thank you for these faithful ones who've come. And no doubt, most of those who are here want to hear what you've given to our preacher. So help all of us to listen. Work especially in the hearts of those who need thee most. In Jesus' name, amen.
I trust you'll listen very, very carefully tonight. The sermon will require your very rapt attention. So I hope you'll sit up straight. I hope you'll listen carefully and attentively. I want to speak tonight on the subject, Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, our Heavenly Father. I tiptoe to the pulpit tonight because I enter into this sacred place. Not only the pulpit being sacred, but the subject about which I speak tonight is the heartbeat of our Christian faith. Behold the Lamb. Speak to us through this message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first mention you have in the Bible of a lamb is found in, we'll not turn to it, but it's found in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. God did something that you would not relate to God. He came to his man, Abraham, and he said to Abraham, there's something I want you to do. Now, before you can understand all about this, you've got to understand that God had promised Abraham and Sarah a boy. And God had promised that that boy would be the father of a nation, the nation that we know tonight as Israel. Isaac was the only boy that Abraham and Sarah had. God came to Abraham when this boy was a young lad, maybe even older than a young lad, maybe even a young adult. And God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to do something. And Abraham said, Lord, what is it? God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, thine only son, Isaac. I want you to take him to the place called Mount Moriah, a 3 days' journey from here. And I want you to take your son like you'd take an animal and offer your son as a sacrifice on an altar at Mount Moriah. Abraham knew what God was talking about. Abraham had known the animal sacrifice. I'm sure Abraham couldn't understand it all, but Abraham didn't have to understand it all. God said, do it. Abraham said, I'll do it. What a wonderful way to live. Abraham took his only son Isaac, on this three-day journey. I can see him as he stopped the first night. The stars are eastern bright. Abraham looks up at the stars, and Isaac is asleep. For Isaac does not know all about the story. He just knows he and his dad are going to Mount Moriah to offer a sacrifice. Abraham looks up at the stars that night, and he says, "Dear God, I don't understand this. You promised me that my seed would be as numerable as those stars in the heavens. You promised me a nation that would be as numerable as the stars that I see tonight. And I only have one son here by Sarah. And now you're asking me to take the life of that son. How could this be? How could it be that I'll have a nation as numerable as the stars if I take the life of my own son?" They continue their journey toward Mount Moriah, Abraham obeying the command of God to offer his son as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Next night he goes to sleep, or tries to sleep, goes to bed, of course outdoors. Isaac goes off to sleep. Abraham reaches over and picks up some of the eastern sand from the Judean hills. That sand goes through his fingers. He looks up and said, "God, you promised me that my seed would be as numerable as this sand, as the sand would be my seed." Now, I don't understand this. How could it be that I could have descendants as like the multitude of the sand when you're asking me to offer my son, my only son, as a sacrifice? Abraham goes with his son. They come to the place called Mount Moriah. Abraham builds an altar. He places wood on that altar. He gets the fire ready for that altar. In Genesis 22 and verse 8, or the verses before that, 6, 7, 8, Isaac says to Abraham, "Father, here is the wood. Here is the fire. Where is the sacrifice?" Enters a word for the first time in the Bible, the word lamb. The word lamb. Abraham said to Isaac, he said, "Isaac, God will provide himself a sacrifice." Now what he was saying is this. He was saying, "Isaac, I don't know about this." And Abraham did not know that Isaac would be spared. But Abraham lifted his eyes above that altar and looked 1,500 years or more ahead. And Abraham said, "Son," or more than 15, he said, "Son, there will be a day when God himself will be a lamb." God himself. Abraham knew about Calvary. He saw Jesus' day and was glad, the Bible says. Enters a word that will be used multitudes of times in the Word of God. That little word, lamb. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, God comes to Moses and tells Moses something. He says to Moses, "I want you to take all the people of Israel, and I want you to get word to them. I want you to tell all of my people." Now bear in mind that the Israelites are in bondage in Egypt, working in the brick factories in slavery. And God said to Moses, I've got a way to deliver my people, and this is it. "I want you to tell every man of every household to choose a lamb on the first month," that's April, "the 10th day of that month." Now he said, "Moses, get it right." He said, to those that don't get it right, on the 14th day of the first month, or the 14th day of April, during that night, a death angel is going to pass over. And that death angel is going to take the life of the firstborn in every house in Egypt, unless the person does exactly what I say. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I imagine Moses got his little note paper out. He said, "Dear God, let me have it. I want to get it just right." And God said, "Moses, this is it. By the way, it doesn't matter whether you're sincere or not, you do it God's way. Doesn't matter whether it's your religion or not, you do it God's way." And God said to Moses, you write this down and you tell the people. First you tell the people on the 10th day of April. All right, I'll get that. April 10. Then he said, "I want them to choose a lamb." Let me write that down, God. Write that down. A lamb. Now, Moses, is a certain kind of lamb. I want that lamb to be a male lamb. Let me write that down, God. A male lamb. Now he said,
Moses, I want you also to tell the people that that lamb must be without blemish. Let me write that down. I don't want to miss it. A male lamb without blemish. I want to write that down. You see, God, I've got to tell the people this, and I've got the responsibility of telling it true, and so does every preacher stands behind a pulpit has responsibility of telling it like it is. Just like God said. I mean, brother, what did God say? That's what God's preacher's supposed to tell. Fool you on this possibility of thinking garbage. Fool you on this power of positive thing. Let's have the Word of God. Let's give them what God said. And Moses said, okay, I'll get it right. Now what else, God? He said, I want each head of the house to keep that lamb up until the 14th day. It's April 14. And I want you to that lamb to be examined. Okay, God, I've got it. Keep it up till April 14. What else, God? Okay, Moses, there's something else. I want that man on April the 14th, I want him to kill that sacrifice. That lamb without, that male lamb without blemish. Okay, God, I got it. Kill lamb April 14. And by the way, you better take this book just like Moses took God's instructions back in those days. And you better take it as seriously as Moses took it. Now, God, what else? Now, he said, I want you to take that lamb and kill it. And then he said, Moses, I want every head of the house, every man, I want him to take the blood of that lamb and put that blood in a basin. Oh, Christmas Evans was dying, the old preacher. And young preachers gathered around his bedside and said, Mr. Evans, have any last word, parting word for us? Listen to me, parting word for us. Christmas Evans raised himself up and spoke his last words and said, young men, preach the blood in the basin. Preach the blood in the basin. And now I've got it, God. April 10th, choose a lamb. A male lamb without blemish. Keep it up. Watch it till April 14th. Kill it on April 14th. Take the blood and put it in a basin. Now, what else? God said, you tell them to take that blood and take it out the front of the house. And you sprinkle that blood on the doorpost and the lintels of the house, and that blood is sprinkled there. Now, sometime during the night of April 14, the death angel will pass over. Everywhere he sees that blood, he will pass over and will not take the life of the firstborn child. But everywhere that blood is not applied, he'll take that blood. The person may be, he'll take the life of the firstborn. Now, the person may be religious, but that won't do it. He may belong to a church, but that won't do it. He may take communion, but that won't do it. He may take the sacraments, but that won't do it. He may be confirmed, but that won't do it. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sick up to here of this so-called Christianity in America that says as long as you're sincere, everybody, virgin birth, no virgin birth, verbal inspiration, no verbal inspiration, blood, no blood, salvation by grace or salvation by works, as long as we're sincere. And all across America, the works people and the grace people are joined together in revival campaigns where every kind of a hodgepodge mess gets together and has a religious kind of a stew where nobody knows anything about what's right. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get saved God's way and do it God's way or we won't get saved at all. Can you see Moses? Can you see him as he comes to those people and calls those men together? Now he says, men, I've got a message from God. Yes, so do I have a message from God. Now, men, I've got to deliver this message exactly as God gave it. And I've got to deliver this message exactly as God gave it. I'm sure that somebody decided that they'd write a revised standard version of God's instructions. Or somebody write an American standard version of God's instructions. Brother, it's God's version. Moses says now to these heads of the household, he said, men, you listen carefully. The life of your firstborn child is at stake. Somebody's still here on the front. The life of your firstborn child is at stake. He said, you do exactly what God said. He said, God said on April the 10th, choose a lamb. Choose a male lamb. Choose a male lamb without blemish. You keep that male lamb without blemish till April 14th. On April 14th, you kill that male lamb. You take the blood of that lamb and sprinkle that blood on the lintels and doorposts of the house. And the death angel comes over. He'll not take your firstborn. Oh, let me tell you something. When the death angel came over, and mom and dad went to the oldest child's bedroom the next morning and saw that child breathing and healthy. Oh, I've got an idea. They sang, oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. What can save my firstborn child? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
A lamb without blemish. Suppose somebody decided to do it on the 11th day. Firstborn child dies. Suppose somebody decided to get a female lamb. Firstborn child dies. Suppose somebody decides to choose a puny little sickly lamb. Firstborn child dies. Suppose somebody comes and offers a lamb, put the blood on there the 15th day instead of the 14th. No, you do it exactly like God said it. And God said you are a sinner. And God said because you are a sinner, you have the curse of death upon you. And if you die in your sins, you'll go to hell. And God said that Jesus, the virgin-born Lamb of God, came and lived a perfect life, fulfilled and fulfilled the law of God, went to Calvary as your substitute and as your sacrifice and as your lamb. And if you will trust Him and nothing else but Him, He'll take you to heaven when you die. But you say, that doesn't make sense to me. I belong to another religion. Yeah, you belong to the 11th day Adventist. No, it's the 10th day. The 10th day, not the 11th day. Well, I belong to the Jehovah's Witnesses. We don't believe in a lamb at all. I don't care what you believe. The firstborn's going to die. And I don't care what you believe. You turn down Jesus as your Savior, and you're going to split hell wide open and burn forever and ever in the torments of hell. It was the Lamb. It was the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Back yonder when Abraham and Isaac was tied on that altar. Abraham took that knife to pierce his own son's breast and kill his own son in obedience to the command of God. All of a sudden, God said, look over there, Abraham and Isaac. Looked over and there's a ram caught in the thicket. And God said, let Isaac off that altar and put that ram in its place. And that ram will die for Isaac. 2,000 years ago, my lamb, my Savior, was on the altar. And he gave his life. But as Isaac did, he rose up from the place of death. Behold the Lamb. And over 1,500 years passes. Isaiah 53 verse 7. It says about the Savior, prophetically, He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Quoting that verse in Acts 8:32, Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch about the Savior. Behold the Lamb. The Bible says as he read that scripture, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. When he quoted that scripture, in verse 32 the scripture is quoted, and in Acts 8:35 it says, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What's he saying? You know, I wonder why we don't say this. Accept Jesus as your Savior? That's a pretty good term. But why don't we say accept Jesus as your Lamb? Accept Him as your sacrifice. That explains the whole thing. He died for you so you can live. He was the Lamb of God. And then for 1,500 years, lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb was offered. Every lamb that bleated its last breath on the altar of sacrifice pointed to the one day God will provide Himself a lamb as a lamb. Every time an offering was made in the tabernacle of the temple, and that every time that little lamb's blood squirted out over that altar, every time that blood was taken into the Holy of Holies, it pictured the fact that someday God would provide Himself as a lamb. Sacrifice after sacrifice. Passover after Passover. Atonement day after atonement day. John 1:29 and 36, the forerunner is come. John the Baptist comes to introduce the Savior to the world. He's the forerunner. It is He who said, He must increase and I must decrease. It is He who said, I'm not worthy to unloose His shoes. There cometh one after me, greater than me, John the Baptist said.
What would John the Baptist say? Behold, the King of kings and Lord of lords. No, sinners don't need a king. Sinners need a Savior. What's he going to say? Behold, the ruler of Israel. No, sinners don't need a ruler. They need a Savior. And so when John the Baptist decided by divine inspiration to introduce the Savior, as the great crowd assembled there where John had been preaching already, and here comes the lowly man of Galilee walking down with the sand of Judea leaking up through his toes and walking down toward John, toward Jordan. John the Baptist looks at him and says, "Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't say, "Behold me." Didn't say, "Behold the Pope." Didn't say, "Behold confession." Didn't say, "Behold the Rabbi." Didn't say, "Behold a good life." Didn't say, "Behold the baptistry." Didn't say, "Behold communion." Didn't say, "Behold baby sprinkling." He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, what you need is a Lamb. And God has provided Himself as a Lamb. He said, didn't say, "Behold a lamb." Behold the Lamb. The Lamb has come. Every lamb that was offered in the Old Testament pointed to the Lamb. But bless God, now that the Lamb has come, you don't need any other lamb. No need for Passover anymore. No need for Mass anymore. No need for priesthood anymore. No need for holy days anymore. No need for holy seasons anymore. No need for holy names anymore. No need for holy garments anymore. No need for holy places anymore. No need for holy offices anymore. No need for the Day of Atonement anymore. Why? The Lamb! Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb! The Lamb has come. And now all the Old Testament ritual is nailed to the cross according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 through 17. Let me illustrate. May I have this microphone? P.A. man? P.A. man? May I have this microphone right here, please? Let's picture the last. Turn me up just a bit. Let's picture the last of the. Turn me up just a bit, please. Let's picture the last of the. The last time they offer a lamb before the Lamb came. Let's picture the last Day of Atonement. The last Day of Atonement. The high priest would take a sacrifice of an innocent animal. He would take the blood of that sacrifice. He'd take that blood inside the Holy of Holies, where nobody could go but the high priest, and where he could only go one time a year. He would walk inside and on that mercy seat covering the Ark of the Covenant. He'd take that blood and sprinkle the blood of the Lamb that was shed out there on the mercy seat. Then he would walk out and he would cry, "It is finished!" When he cried, "It's finished," that means atonement was finished, because the Lamb had been slain and the blood had been applied, and the high priest had taken the blood of the Lamb and taken it there. And that's why you need a Lamb to save you and a high priest to save you. And Jesus is both. He's the Lamb and He's also the high priest. But can you picture this? It's the last Passover before Calvary. Our last Day of Atonement before Calvary. And that high priest takes the blood of this animal. He takes it inside the Holy of Holies. By the way, this happened on Passover Day, because Christ was crucified on Passover Day. All of a sudden, he looks up and he sees an unseen hand ripping that veil between the outer court and the Holy of Holies. Why? Because over on Golgotha's hill, the Lamb has been sacrificed. I don't know all about it, but if I'd been that high priest, I'd have said, "Hey, come on in, folks. Come on in. I've been the only one who could come in here. But the veil of the temple is rent. Anybody can come. Come on in. Hey, come on in. Come on in. You have access. Hey, you don't have to ask me to do your praying for you. Come on in. Come on in." Ever since Calvary, the Lamb nailed to the cross all the Old Testament ritual. Come on in. I don't have to forgive your sins. Neither does El Papa. That's why I wear a suit coat instead of a dress. Because Old Testament ritual has been nailed to Calvary. The Lamb has come. That's why we have preaching instead of ritual. That's why we have electric lights instead of candles. That's why we have Jesus Saves instead of high church chants. Why? Because the priesthood is nailed to the cross. And the ritual is nailed to the cross. And the Holy Day is nailed to the cross. And the Passover is nailed to the cross. And the Atonement is nailed to the cross. And the Holy Season is nailed to the cross. And the Holy Garments are nailed to the cross. And the Holy Names and Titles are nailed to the cross. Why? Behold the Lamb. That's why. The Lamb has come. Revelation chapter 5. We find the story of the end time. We find the story of the end time. Revelation chapter 5. There's a book. That book is the title deed to the world. In that book is the title deed that must be opened before we can have a kingdom, a millennium. And so, it's sealed, the Bible says. Somebody's got to open that book. The angel said, I looked in heaven, couldn't find anybody worthy to open that book. I looked to heaven tonight, can't find anybody worthy to open the book either. Not even the Virgin Mary. Then he said, I looked on the earth. I couldn't find anybody worthy to open the book. I couldn't find a pope worthy to open the book. Couldn't find a priest worthy to open the book. Couldn't find a preacher worthy to open the book. All of a sudden, he said, I began to weep. And he said, all of a sudden, someone shouted, weep not. Weep not. We can't have a millennium. Somebody's prevailed to open the book. And the Bible said, there stood a lamb. There stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now, wait a minute. That's not talking about there stood a lamb like it had been slain. That means there stood a lamb just like it was when it was slain. Jesus doesn't have scars in his hands. He has wounds in his hands. Fresh wounds. All the time they're fresh. And here's that book. We got to have a kingdom. We want the wolf to lie down with the lamb. We want righteousness to prevail. But who can open the book? Hey, hey, here he comes. Behold the Lamb. And the Lamb comes and opens the book. And now we can enter into the kingdom age and have all that God has prepared for us. Revelation chapter 7. Chapter 11. I'm sorry. I'll get to it. Chapter 12, verse 11. A concern over how to overcome Satan prevailed. How can we overcome the devil? The devil is loose in the tribulation period. In the middle of that tribulation period, he comes to the earth to unleash his fury upon the earth. And the question is asked, how can they overcome the Lamb? How can we overcome the devil? How can we overcome the devil now? How can you have victory over temptation? How can you overcome the wiles of Satan? How can you overcome the temptation of a pagan world? How can we do it? And they said, how can we overcome the devil? And the answer comes, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Revelation chapter 19, there's a wedding. Rapture's taken place. Those of us who are saved are gone. You folks that are wanting to get rid of us fundamentalists, you'll have your time. But you'll find then we're the folks kept this world fit for you to live in. When the salt is gone, this world's going to rot. And your crowd can have it. You're going to get rid of us. Because we're going to get married. Going to a wedding. Revelation 19:7 says the marriage of the Lamb. Revelation 19:9. The wedding supper of the Lamb. What does it mean? It means nobody's going to get raptured unless you put your trust in the Lamb. What you say, Brother Hiles? Church I go doesn't believe this. Well, they better believe this. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the shedding of the blood, behold the Lamb. Nobody's going to get raptured unless they've trusted the Lamb. Nobody's going to be at the marriage of the Lamb unless they know the Lamb. You don't know the Lamb, so you trust the Lamb. Nobody's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they trust the Lamb. Revelation 21 and verse 9. We've come back to earth. We've lived the kingdom age. We were raptured by the Lamb, by our faith in the Lamb. The millennium was allowed because the Lamb came to open the book. Now it's New Jerusalem time. That holy city. Revelation 21 verse 9 says, I will show thee the Lamb's wife. That's everybody got saved. The Lamb's wife. How are you going to go to heaven? The Lamb. How are you going to get raptured? The Lamb. How are you going to reign for 1,000 years? The Lamb. How can you overcome the devil now? The Lamb. The Lamb. Revelation 21, verse 23. Somebody said, how's this place stay light up here? The answer is the Lamb is the light in the city thereof. There's enough electricity in Jesus to light up the whole world and all of heaven. The Lamb is the light in the city thereof. Revelation 21, verse 9, we have the Lamb's book of life. Why is it the Lamb's book of life? Because you get in that book of life of the Lamb. You listen to me. You get mad at me all you want to, but that priest is a liar. You can criticize me all you want to criticize me. Say, I'm criticizing other denominations. I'm not. I'm trying to keep you from burning in hell. But that priest that says he can absolve your sins is a liar. And that pope that has you kiss his big toe is a liar. I'd like to have one shot at that toe with my mouth. It'd be amputated when I got through with it. I'm simply saying the pope that says he can absolve your sins is a liar. I said he's a liar. I said he's a liar. And that priest that tells you the sacraments are necessary to take you to heaven, he's a liar. I don't care if he lives in Rome, in the Vatican City, or across the street, down Sibley Street. He's a liar. He's a liar. Behold the Lamb. That's the way you get saved. Behold the Lamb. That's the way you get raptured. Behold the Lamb. That's the way you rule with Christ. Behold the Lamb. That's the way you get to heaven. Behold the Lamb.
You get your name in the book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. Not the priest's book of life. Not the pope's book of life. Not the sacrament's book of life. Not the baptismal book of life. Not communion book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. And everybody who is written in the book of life will get in that book with the ink of the blood of the Lamb by faith in the blood of the Lamb. And my Bible says, those who are not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and verse and 3. We have the statement about the New Jerusalem. God shall sit on His throne. And the Bible said, it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. How do I know I'm going to heaven? I've trusted the Lamb. How do I know I'll get raptured? I've trusted the Lamb. How do I know my name's in the book of life? Because it's the Lamb's book of life, not the church book of life. I've trusted the Lamb. How do I know that 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, I'll be living in heaven? How do I know? Because of the Lamb. But as I said a while ago, that Lamb who is so necessary needed to rise from the dead. And by the way, the gospel includes the resurrection just as much as it includes Calvary. As I've taught before, a dead sacrifice in the backyard on the Passover without that blood being taken to the front door is of no avail. A dead sacrifice on the Day of Atonement for that animal and his blood stays on that altar, and that blood does not get to the mercy seat, is of no avail. A Calvary without a resurrection is of no avail. Because Jesus had to rise from the dead and is my high priest. Take his own blood and sprinkle that blood on heaven's mercy seat. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Behold the Lamb. I lift Him high tonight. Behold the Lamb. Trust the Lamb. Win your victory over temptation through the Lamb. Be ready for the rapture by trusting the Lamb. Know you're going to heaven when you die by trusting the Lamb. Know your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know that you're saved, you'll be a fool to walk out these doors without Christ. You say, Brother Howells, my church just doesn't see eye to eye with that. Well, forget my church and yours and take what God said. Well, you say, my family doesn't believe this kind of religion. Forget what your family says, what we say, what I say, and take what God says. You've got to have a lamb. I'm close with this. Without a lamb, every firstborn child dies in the land of Egypt. Without a lamb, there's no atonement for the sins of God's people. Without a lamb, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without a lamb, there's no remission of sin. Without a lamb, there's no rapture, no book of life, no heaven, just a hell. Trust Him tonight. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. That letter you read a while ago, Brother Steve, curdles my blood. Where some wicked priest over there in the Philippine Islands warned the people about the fundamentalists and told them about the false doctrine the fundamentalists are teaching. They said the fundamentalists are teaching such false doctrine as that you get salvation not through the ordinances and sacraments. They're teaching such false doctrine as you get salvation without the church. They're teaching such false doctrine that they get the doctrine from the Bible and not from the Pope and the church. Warning them. They're liars. They're liars. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God said you get saved by the Lamb. Man says you hold out. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God says you get saved by faith in the Lamb. Man says you get saved by a good life. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God says you get saved by faith in the Lamb. Man says you take communion. Let God be true. Every man a liar. Man, God says you get saved by faith in the Lamb. Man says take the sacraments for salvation. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God said you get saved by the Lamb. Man says the Pope forgives your sins. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God said you get saved by faith in the Lamb. Man says the priest absolves your sins. Let God be true. Every man a liar. Man says, God says you get saved by faith in the Lamb. Man says, for $25 to throw in a telephone booth on a Saturday afternoon, El Papa will forgive your sin. Let God be true. Every man a liar. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your need tonight, your great need tonight, is to behold the Lamb. Our Heavenly Father, take the simple message from a simple...